You're listening to Amazing Discoveries Audio. This is Heal Your Body, Mind, and Spirit with Barbara O'Neill. Episode 5, Natural Remedies That Work.
As we have discussed many times, the human body was designed to heal itself, and it'll heal itself if given the right conditions. We've looked at those basic conditions which we have listed on the board here: pure air, sunshine, not taking anything into the body that will harm it, proper rest, going to bed early, exercising, moving the body every day, eating a proper diet, a nourishing diet, drinking adequate water, and trusting in God, trusting in the one that gave us this body with its inbuilt ability to heal itself. In this presentation, we're going to be looking at natural remedies. When aches and pains happen, when little accidents happen, there are some simple things that you can do to bring relief, but not only bring relief, also to boost healing in the body. So we're going to look at a whole lot of little things here, and I have a table full of goodies here. The first one we're going to look at is the humble onion. I think every home has an onion. And I will never forget onion because it is the first natural remedy that I ever did. I think I related the story when I was giving the story about how I got into natural remedies, about how my daughter had an earache at the age of 16 months. And after 6 weeks and 4 courses of antibiotics later, her earache came back. So when my second child had an earache, I didn't go to the doctor this time. I went to the old lady next door. And I said to the old lady, "What did your mother do when you had an earache?" She said, "Mum would steam up an onion on the stove. She would keep the two ends. There's a hard end that the roots came out of, and this is the top end where the stalk came out of. The best is to steam it or dry bake it. If you boil it, some of the healing properties could go into the water. And then you cut it in half like I have done here, so you're looking at two sets of rings. So what you do is you steam it, and when you've steamed it, it will be very hot. And then you can squeeze it, and it'll be boiling hot, the onion, but the hot juice will go into the cold spoon, and that'll get it just the right temperature, and you can put those few drops in the ear. And then you wrap this onion in a cloth. And you wrap it, the cloth, over a few times. The onion will cool down quite quickly. So you just keep feeling it until it's the right temperature, and then put it on the ear. You put it on as the person can cope with it. If it's still a little bit hot, you can use another cloth and put a few more layers over it. And when you have put it on the ear and it's the right temperature, then you get a square of plastic and you put that over the onion. The reason why you put the plastic over it is it'll keep it warm, and you can keep this onion on for as long as you can keep it warm. When it gets cold, you must take it off. Part of the comfort that it brings is the warmth, but onion is a drawer, and so the heat from the onion and the drawing power of the onion bring great relief. Sometimes it'll draw the pus out so that a little hole is made and the pus will come out through the eardrum. If the body makes the hole, not a problem. If something's poked in the eardrum, that's a problem. But if the body makes the hole, the body can quickly heal the hole. Sometimes you may need to apply the onion poultice a couple of times. Sometimes once is enough. And I know with my second child, James, when the little old lady next door, I think I was 26, she was about 86, when she told me about it, I did it immediately. James fell asleep. He was being breastfed to sleep, and I had the onion against my arm so I could feel the temperature and against his ear. And he settled right down. It seemed to bring him much comfort. And he fell asleep. And when I lay him down on the bed, I laid him so that he was on the on the ear. I put a towel folded up a few times because I knew that would keep it warm. James slept for 2 hours. So what does that tell you? He's getting relief. When he woke up, he was happy. I watched him all that day. I watched him all the next day. He was happy. Now, my partner said, I'm not sure it's that ear. Whenever he would cry, he said, it might be that ear. So I took him to the doctor. The doctor looked in the ear that had the ache and said, the ear is totally clean. He looked in the other ear, it had a little wax in it. So that was my confirmation that the onion poultice had done the job. So no wonder I went into natural remedies when I compared the difference between 6 weeks and four lots of antibiotics and a 2 hour onion poultice where the child slept. One must also look at the cause. What was the cause? Well, I discovered that my children were teething, and sometimes the teething can cause the new station tubes to be a little blocked. I didn't notice with any of my other children, but by the time my other children came along, we had stopped having dairy products in our diet. And dairy products, cow's milk, is known to build up the blockage in the eustachian tubes. It's known to cause an excess of mucus to be produced in those tubes. The eustachian tubes, they basically connect the nose and the mouth and the eyes and the ears. You can also use a cooked onion poultice for a boil. A man rang me one day and he said, I have boils on the inside of my nose. They're incredibly painful, and I can understand that. The inside of the nose is very sensitive. I said, well, usually we advise a cooked onion poultice, but I don't know how you do that for the inside of your nose. I didn't hear again until 4 days later, and he rang me. He said the next day he woke up and his whole nose and side of his face was swollen. So he cooked the onion up, chopped it in half, and when it had cooled down a bit, he just put the whole thing straight onto that whole area. He bandaged it onto his face. He said to me he left it like that all day because it felt so good. It brought him a lot of relief. When he took it off at the end of the day, everything came away. He said he's never had the boils heal so quickly. So remember, the onion, the heat draws it in, and also the drawing power of the onion. It's fairly well known that the onion has drawing powers. An old remedy, if you've just painted a room and it's a little bit strong in paint odour, you can slice the onion and put it on a tray and leave it overnight, and the onion will draw the strong smells into it. I got a new fridge about a year ago and I didn't like the plastic smell. So I chopped onion and put it on a saucer in the fridge and also in the freezer. And the next day when I woke up and took it out, the strong smell had gone. And of course you discard the onion. As a result, please don't use half an onion and wrap the other half in glad wrap, because it will absorb the chemicals from the plastic. If I have a large onion and I only want to use half, I will chop it up and I will put it in a glass jar like this, and I'll put it in the freezer. That's about the only way you can keep an onion. So we've looked at cooked onion, and cooked onion can be used for an earache, and it can also be used for a boil. Now we're going to have a look at raw onion. So raw onion can be used in a few ways, and I'm sure we're all mindful that when you cut up an onion, you can start to cry, isn't that right? So the onion juice has a particular effect on the eustachian tubes, on the respiratory, and that's probably where we would mostly use it, as a raw onion. So the first one I'm going to show you is an onion poultice for a sore throat. So you finely slice the onion, and then you get a cloth. In my poultice box, I have lots of cloths like this. It's just like a cheesecloth. And then you place the onion in a row, just a little bit of sliced onion. So I've got it like this. And then I'm going to wrap it over. And the area that's got the one piece of cloth between the onion and outside, I put that on my neck. And then you can put a scarf around it. Or you can put a little bit of plastic and then the scarf around it. And you can sleep with that all night, and that will bring relief from a sore throat. Now we're going to do something else with the onion, and this one might surprise you. We're going to chop up the onion into small pieces, and we're going to apply it to the bottom of the feet. So why would we apply onion to the bottom of the feet? The bottom of the feet has large pores on it, and they are the largest pores in the whole body, and they are able to absorb. And the bottom of the feet are a reflex for the chest, for the head, and for the abdomen. The reason why we're putting the onion on the bottom of the feet is for a cough. I've seen this bring incredible results a few times. So we get a plastic bag, that's just a usual plastic bag. At Misty Mountain we buy boxes of plastic bags made out of starch. Now if you do not want to put your foot on the plastic, you can put this cloth in the bag. And then you put chopped onion in like this, and then the foot will go on top of that. You draw the cloth around, and then the plastic around, and you secure the end of the bag around the ankle, and then you put a sock on. Remember, we're pretending this is a foot. So the bottom of the feet are touching the chopped onion. I was with my daughter a few years ago, and her little three-year-old boy had a cough. She gave him a hot bath and rugged him up and put him to bed, but he kept coughing. And we kept thinking, he'll sleep in a minute. But after half an hour of just coughing and coughing, she got him up and we chopped up an onion and we got two bags and put this poultice just like this on both feet. And we put him back to bed. We did not hear one more cough. Now he'd been coughing non-stop for half an hour, so it's particularly good for a cough. I've seen it happen quite a few times, and I've had people say to me, that onion poultice on the bottom of the foot, it is so good when you've got a cough. So what's happening in the world at the moment is what's all the talk is the flu or cold that's called COVID. So all of these things can be very effective to help relieve the symptoms of a cold or a flu or the one called COVID. And now we're going to make an onion cough syrup. You just need a jar and you put approximately a half an inch of onion in the bottom, and then you put approximately a teaspoon of honey on top of that. And then you'll put another layer of onion. And then another teaspoon of honey. And you keep going until your onion's finished or the jar's full. And you'll see how thick the honey is, as it usually is. When the syrup is formed, it's quite thin and quite running. Ideally, you let it sit for approximately 24 hours, and then you can strain the onion out. Approximately 3 hours ago, I made one of these. So I'd like to show you what it looks like when it's finished. So you can see when I put this up, there's nothing but thick, sticky honey and onion. So this one was made 3 hours ago, and you can see there's quite a runny syrup in there. This is still not ready to strain, but it will be ready in 24 hours. Once you've strained it, that will keep for probably years, because we know honey doesn't go off. Now we're going to look at a relative of the onion, and that is garlic. Garlic can be used as a very potent antibiotic. In fact, one study I read of claimed that it was 6 times more potent than tetracycline. Not only is garlic. Antibacterial, it's also antifungal, it's antiviral. So let me give you a recipe that can be used if you've got any type of cold. This can be pneumonia or bronchitis or asthma or flu, COVID flu. I'll give you the recipe. It's called the flu bomb. And it has six main ingredients in the flu bomb. It has garlic. How much garlic? As much as you dare. Maybe for a child you'll do a little clove. Maybe for an adult you might, that's about a middle-sized clove there. And you crush it. Ginger. And for ginger, it's about a quarter of a teaspoon of finely grated or very finely chopped ginger. Eucalyptus oil. Eucalyptus oil, one drop. There's a definite measurement for this one. One lady said, "Barbara, it says not fit for human consumption." I said to her, "We're not asking you to drink a whole teaspoon." One drop. And this isn't a remedy that's been used for centuries. An old lady told me whenever she got a cold or one of her siblings got a cold. Now, she told me this 40 years ago, and she was 80 then. She's still not with us now. But she said, Mum would put a little bit of honey on a teaspoon and a drop of eucalyptus oil, and every child had to have their dose of eucalyptus oil with a bit of honey. In Australia, you can even buy eucalyptus oil and honey lozenges when you get a cold. So remember, it's only one drop. If you don't have eucalyptus oil, you can use tea tree oil. Cayenne pepper. There's no amount to the cayenne pepper. So it's just like the garlic, it's as much as you can bear. Some might only bear a sprinkle, some might be able to bear a quarter of a teaspoon, some half a teaspoon. I don't know anyone that can go much past that. Lemon, the juice of a lemon, and 1 teaspoon of honey. This is the flu bomb. And to this, you add approximately 1/3 of a cup of hot water. If someone has a flu or cold or of any type, sinus, any problem in the respiratory organs, the dose is to take one of these 3 times a day. Usually by the 3rd or 4th day, the cold has absolutely resolved itself or it's on the tail end. You can start taking that at any point. There's your antibiotic. It's a potent one. What about a baby? You can't give that to a baby. Can't give that to a small one. But what you can do, you can finely slice the garlic, which I'm doing now, and you can place it in a little cloth and bind it to the bottom of their feet. So I cut up a cloth like this, and the fine slices can be placed on the cloth, and then that can be covered over, because we do not want the garlic slices to touch the bottom of the feet, because it can cause a blister. The onion will not, but the garlic will. And then we're just pretending my fingers are the bottom of the feet again, and you bind it to the bottom of the feet, and then you can put the sock on or the little booty on. Or my son James, when he was 3, he used to get quite chesty. I'd put this on his feet, I'd put his shoe and sock on, and off he'd run to play, and every step that he takes, he's getting a little blast of garlic into the blood. In Psalm 104, verse 14, the Bible says that God gave herbs for the service of man. So this garlic will go in and the body will take it where it needs to go. And I found that it helped to loosen up any congestion on the chest. It can even help to clear the airways a little. At the end of the day, when I took James' shoes and socks off, all that was left was something that looked like bits of yellow, dried out leather. Every bit of juice had gone, and I could smell it in his breath in a couple of minutes. Only takes 1 minute for one drop of blood to go around your whole body. So there's the garlic, and now we're going to have a look at ginger. Ginger is well known for being an anti-nausea herb. So if anyone has nausea, finely grate the ginger, pour boiling water on it, and they can sip on that tea. It makes a delicious tea. So you might use, there's some graters are like this, or the fine grater on the big one, and about a teaspoon into a little teapot, and then pour the boiling water in. In about 10 minutes, you'll find it's drinkable temperature, and the person can sip on it. If you buy seasickness or car sickness tablets, it's nearly always just compressed ginger. Now we're going to use it on the outside. We're going to make a poultice. And I fold over cling wrap a few times so it's a little better to use. And I put that down on my little chopping board. And then I get a cloth. It's good to have a poultice box and have a collection of these cloths. That's a good size to make a poultice. And now we're going to grate the ginger, and we grate it on the small one. So where would we use ginger? Ginger can be used for any joint pain. So remember, ginger's for joint. And I grate up, I'm going to put it on a sore wrist. Anywhere where there is inflammation in the joint, it can be used. So let's say a person's got some arthritis in their joint and it's quite painful. A ginger poultice can be made, because this ginger poultice appears to draw the inflammation out of the joint. So you can see here I'm spreading out the ginger to take up. I'm going to apply it to an area probably about 2 inches by 2 inches. So you spread it out evenly. And then to make the poultice, you're going to make a little package. So it's top over bottom and then side over side. And then you turn it over, and the part that goes onto the body is the part that's just got one layer. So you can see the yellow ginger juice starting to come out of there. You also see that the plastic wants to be about half an inch more than the poultice itself. And the reason that you are using the plastic is to protect the clothes, but also to keep the poultice from chilling. So let's say I'm putting it on my wrist. So then I'll put it on the area like that, and then I'll bandage it on. Ideally it's well bandaged, because you don't want air coming into any of those areas which can chill it, and you don't want it chilled. So this can be used for arthritis, it can be used for gout, it can be used for sore knees, it can be used for lower back. It's very good for sore lower back, anywhere where you've got inflammation. So the sore lower back, we've had people sing its praises. We've had people at our retreats that have a very sore lower back. We apply the ginger poultice, and usually their pants can hold it in place. And within half an hour, they're telling us it's getting very hot. When the skin gets hot under the ginger poultice, it's an indication that it's drawing the inflammation out of the joint to the skin. When someone has a sore lower back, they often want to put a hot water bottle on their back. Now, the hot water bottle does bring relief, because whenever you're in pain, the muscles tend to cramp. Basically, they're going out in sympathy with the pain. And our body naturally cramps against pain because it's painful. And the hot water bottle relaxes those cramping muscles, so there is some relief. But a hot water bottle on an inflamed area can increase the inflammation. So the hot water bottle is really not the best, because it can increase the inflammation even though it relaxes the muscles. Whereas the ginger poultice, when it's applied to the lower back and the ginger starts to draw the inflammation out of the joint to the skin and the whole area gets hot, that's relaxing the cramping muscles. So the ginger poultice relaxes the cramping muscle and the ginger poultice pulls the inflammation out of the joint. I usually apply the ginger poultice maybe about 6 o'clock in the evening, say the person's got a sore knee or a sore wrist or wherever it may be. And that allows the person to feel how hot it's going to get. Because if you put it on just before you go to bed and half an hour later you're woken up because it's feeling quite burning, it can interfere with your sleep. So if you put it on about 6, it gives the person the opportunity to assess it and say, I actually like that heat, I can sleep with that, or it's too hot, we'll take it off. Even if you take it off after half an hour, it has still had an effect. One lady emailed me, she tried it overnight and in the morning she had 50% less pain in her knee. She was so excited, she made another one and changed it at lunchtime, and at the end of the day she had a shower, then put another one on, and when she woke up the next morning, her knee was all red and inflamed. She emailed me, she said, "What have I done?" And I said, "You've just overdone it." She said, "What will I do?" I said, "Nothing." No ginger poultices for maybe about another week until that skin settles down. She had just done it so much that so much inflammation had been pulled out of the joint to the skin, it had inflamed the skin. So if you have some arthritis or a sore joint, my suggestion is just do it overnight or just do it for a few hours in the afternoon. There are other poultices, as you will see as we go through this, that can be used for tissue inflammation and for other ailments. And one is the potato. The potato is very, very cooling. So what the lady could put on her sore knee now is the potato. The potato is very cooling, it's high in potassium and phosphorus, and the skin absorbs those minerals, which helps with the healing. Let me show you how we make the potato poultice. So again, we put the plastic down, we have another cloth here. It's a good idea to buy a little box and set it up as your poultice box. So when there's a crisis, you've got everything ready. Now for the potato poultice, I'm going to use the bigger grater. And the potato poultice is used a little differently. You would never use ginger on tender parts of the body. You would never use it on the eye. Not the ginger poultice. Just keep the ginger poultice for joints. Ginger for joints. Whereas the potato, it can be used in a quite a large variety of places, because the ginger, it helps with the joint inflammation, whereas the potato is bringing relief in tissue inflammation. So there's our grated potato, and again we make a little package. So we put the top down, bring the bottom up, both sides over, turn it over, and there we have our potato poultice. The potato poultice is excellent on a swollen ankle that may be from a sprained ankle. It'll bring the tissue inflammation down, whereas the ginger's for joint inflammation, the potato is for tissue inflammation. It's also a drawer, and I have seen it draw a big splinter out. It happened in my son. He had a big splinter in the bottom of his foot. We didn't know what was in there. We just know he'd hurt his foot. He was running along where there are some sleepers around a swimming pool. We'd gone to a friend's house and they'd landscaped all around their pool like an oasis with palms. It was very beautiful. But they'd got old sleepers, you know, the railway sleepers. But I guess in some areas they were rotting down a bit. And William ran and hurt his foot against it, knocked his just under his big toe. He came running to me crying. He was about 10, I think, at the time, and I had a look. I couldn't see anything, but there was a hole there. So when we went home, we put the grated potato poultice on because it was beginning to swell. I probably made it a little smaller than this for a 10-year-old foot, and you just place it on, the plastic over it stops the or prevents the poultice getting cold, but it also prevents soiling the clothes or sock around it, and then you bandage it on. That's why you always make sure it's well covered with the plastic. I don't wrap the whole area with plastic because I really don't like plastic on the skin. It's just enough to keep it from chilling and also to protect the clothes. Now, I did this every night for William because he was still limping. And after two and a half weeks, William's still limping. And the poultice was keeping the foot from swelling, but he was still limping. And a friend visited. And I said to the friend, I don't know what's the matter with William. He's still limping. He pushed the bottom of William's foot, and William, he nearly hit the roof. He yelled. My friend said, I can feel a lump of wood in that foot. He will need surgery to get that out. My friend was a natural therapist, but he said, this is in too deep. William looked at me. I said, it's all right, William, we're going to try grated potato surgery. Now, I was just doing it overnight. So now I got really serious. I did it overnight, and in the morning I did a hot and cold foot bath on him. We talked about this a little bit in the water lecture. So what I did was I gave him a hot foot bath for 3 minutes, and I gave him a very cold foot bath for 30 seconds. And I did this 3 times. You see, with hot and cold, they both have a stimulating effect. And after 3 minutes, the blood starts to slow down when it's been in hot water. Everything starts to relax. So we take it out of the hot and we put it into the cold. And that stimulates. But after 30 seconds, everything starts to slow down. So we put it back in the hot. So I did this 3 times. 3 hots, 3 colds. And then I put the grated potato on overnight. I did this because it increased blood flow to the area, which is the healer. In the morning, I did another hot and cold. And then I did another grated potato poultice till the middle of the day. And then I changed the poultice again. So he was getting 3 potato poultices in the 24-hour period. His foot was starting to look like a dried prune, but I didn't mind. We had to get that little bit of wood out. After 2.5 days, I saw a little black dot appear in a hole in the bottom of his foot. Now, this black dot was about the size of a lentil. We got a needle and put it into the side of it and pulled it out, and it would have been easily a little bit more than an inch long. So that's a big splinter to have in a 10-year-old foot. We were just so grateful. We just thank God that it came out. Is there a time when we would have gone to the doctor? If his foot swelled, if there was no relief in what we were doing, I certainly would have. But I was talking to a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he said he had a young boy come in who had a piece of bamboo that went into the back of his foot. They took him into surgery, they opened it, but they couldn't find it. And he said, you can't keep cutting the tissue. And he knew natural remedies from when he was a boy, so he told the mother, go home and do hot and colds every morning, every night. It'll increase the blood flow to the area. And little by little, the body, it pushed that bit of bamboo out. So I'd also knew of that story. And because William wasn't in pain, the grated potato poultice had kept all the swelling down, I knew that we could do what we were doing. And it came out. Can you imagine if I hadn't done the hot and colds and hadn't done the grated potato? His foot would have swollen up. He possibly would have got blood poisoning. And that's when I discovered how powerful that grated potato is. It soothes the area, it brings the swelling out, and it enabled his body, and it worked with his body to get that splinter out. I wouldn't be surprised if that splinter was a good centimetre or half an inch down into the foot, but little by little it drew it out. See, the body's designed to heal itself, and these simple remedies, they are aiding the body in its process to actually be able to draw it out. If someone has conjunctivitis or red eyes or sore eyes, they can put a grated potato poultice on their eyes. It's very gentle. A friend of mine rang one day when her little chap was only about 10 months old. I heard him screaming in the background. I said, "What's the matter with Louis?" She said, "His little penis is swollen twice the size. Now what are you going to do? And if you take him to hospital, what are they going to do?" So I said, "Quickly, make up a grated potato poultice about this size and lay it over his whole scrotum area and put his nappy, or you call it a diaper, on." She said within about 10 minutes of putting this on, he settled right down. You see, it was so hot, inflamed, and most pain is due to inflammation, and this gets the inflammation down. He slept for a couple of hours. My friend kept going and checking on him. She couldn't believe that. She was worried, was he all right? And he certainly was. He was peaceful and sleeping. So he slept for 2 hours, and when he woke up, she took the diaper off, the nappy off, and everything was back to normal. Sometimes you don't know what is causing the swelling. Now, the little fellow was a crawling baby, and maybe he was crawling around and something bit him in that area. Maybe a little bit of dust got in the area. You do not know, but she did not have any more troubles there. So if in doubt, put the grated potato on. The grated potato is very gentle, it's very soothing, and it's very good on hot, inflamed, angry areas. Ingrown toenails, it's excellent. With ingrown toenails, you do the hot and cold, and then you would apply the grated potato. And the hot and colds, they can bring relief sometimes by the end of the treatment. I remember one more story of this happened in New Zealand a few years ago now, and a lady was seeing me, and she brought her son, and he was 7. And I noticed that his finger was twice the size. I said, what's the matter with his finger? She said, "Oh, he's got cellulitis." I said, "Yes, but why?" You know, Newton's third law of motion, to every action there's an equal and an opposite reaction. Why? There is always a reason. She said, "Well, he was playing with his matchbox cars in the dirt. He had a blister. The blister burst, and of course what happened is dirt got in. You see, our skin is like a suit of armor, and when you break the skin and dirt gets in, then your whole body has these systems that rush there. The lymph goes there, the white blood cells go there. Now it was all swollen." I said, "What have you been doing?" She said, "He's on his second course of antibiotics. He has to have painkillers to help him sleep and sleeping tablets to help him sleep. The little fellow was only 7. I said, "Can I try something?" She said, "Please." So I got 2 cups, one with hot water, one with cold, and I did the 3 times. By the end of the 3 minuter, the little boy was smiling. What did the smile say? He's got relief. And then we made a grated potato poultice about half that size for a little finger, and we put it on and we asked God to bless that. I always ask God to bless the poultice. When they got home, by 2 o'clock, the little boy asked for it again. And just before bed, they did it again, and they changed the poultice every time. Whenever you make a poultice out of fresh vegetable matter, you must discard it when you've used it. And that's the beauty of the poultice. You can just discard that. If you put grated potato straight onto the skin, you'd have a big mess. Whereas this makes it a lot easier to deal with. The mother said the next morning when they took the grated potato poultice off, all the pus and everything inside had come out in the poultice and the finger was back to normal. She said he didn't need any painkillers or sleeping tablets that night. The hot and colds have been used for centuries, and in the area of pain relief they're almost without equal, and they can certainly intensify the poultices. Now we're going to be having a look at cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a remarkable herb. In the book Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss, he devotes half a page to every other herb but 10 pages to cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper moves blood. It is a stimulant, but not a nervous system stimulant. It's not an irritant. It's a stimulant to the blood, and whenever you move blood, you move healing into that area. Cayenne pepper can be used internally and it can be used externally. internally, it can relieve a sore throat. Remember, it's in the flu bomb. It might tingle at first, but when that tingling settles down, you'll find relief, because cayenne pepper also has an analgesic effect. It's a natural painkiller. So even though there's an initial tingle, then pain relief will be experienced. Cayenne pepper can be used for an upset stomach. It can be used for low hydrochloric acid. So wherever cayenne pepper touches, it stimulates blood to the area. It'll even help heal a stomach ulcer. When it gets into the blood, it thins the blood, it opens the capillaries, it strengthens the arterial wall, but it also can be used externally. How would you use it internally? About a quarter of a teaspoon in a little cup of water, or maybe a third of a cup of water just before the meal. It'll help with the meal and it'll help all other areas. It can also be used externally, and to use it externally, you will make a compress. So I'm going to make a compress for a foot. I've got a piece of paper this size and I've got two layers of kitchen paper. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put a little bit of olive oil on that paper, because when I've put the olive oil on there, I'm going to put some cayenne pepper. So I'm using the olive oil, just you only want a little bit, because if you put too much on, then when you put the poultice on, and ideally you'll be putting it on overnight, you don't want olive oil leaking into the bed. So you only use a little bit to cover the area. So you can see I've just lightly sprinkled that on. A little bit more. And now I'm going to sprinkle the cayenne pepper on. And I'm going to sprinkle about half a teaspoon on. And the reason I put the oil on is so that the cayenne pepper will stick there. Otherwise it'll all fall off. And it helps to keep it in its place. So that's about a half a teaspoon. And you smooth it over, make sure it sticks to the cayenne pepper. And now I can hold that up and you see that will not fall off. And what you do now is the foot goes straight onto that. So it's got the plastic underneath and that will protect the sock. And it'll also protect the bed. So you put the foot on there and then you put a sock on. And the reason you would do this would be for cold feet. If someone has no feeling in their feet, you can also use it. If someone has no feeling in their feet or they've got cold feet, you cannot put their feet in hot water. You put cold feet or feet with no feeling into hot water, you can damage the tissues because they have no feeling there. So what you can certainly put their feet in lukewarm water. So what you do is you put the feet on there. You would have one for each foot. So you put the feet on there, put a sock over, and what this cayenne pepper does is it stimulates blood circulation to the feet. For people with peripheral neuropathy, that's no feeling in their feet, I find in the morning they're feeling a little bit pins and needles. Now that's the first sign that life is beginning to become back in those feet. How long would you do it for? It can be different in every person. For some people, they might need to do it every second night for a week. If their feet are starting to get hot all day long, maybe it's time to stop it. But if someone has cold feet, by morning their feet are warm. My feet aren't cold. Well, I never let them get cold. But if I did that on my feet, by 4 in the morning, I'd want to rip it off because my feet are getting so hot. So again, you watch the person. If a person has cold feet, sometimes they only need to do that twice a week. But I'd also look at why their feet are getting cold. Usually it's poor circulation, and to increase the circulation, exercise. Exercise increases blood flow to the whole extremities. I visited an elderly lady once who had peripheral neuropathy, and I made her a whole set of these, and I folded them over like this, and I put them in a bag. And so that meant that they were all ready for her, and she could take a set out every second night and put them on her feet and put the sock on. You could use it for any part of the body that has no feeling in it. Now we're going to have a look at castor oil. Castor oil penetrates deeper than any other oil. I do not advise you drink castor oil. It can be irritating inside, but on the outside, it has quite a remarkable effect. It penetrates deeper than any other oil, and wherever it penetrates, it breaks up lumps, bumps, adhesions, bone spurs, tumors. Depending on how long the bone spur has been there, if the bone spur has been there for 3 years, it might take 3 months. If the bone spur has been there 3 months, it might only take 3 weeks. I have seen people, well, they've told me their bone spur was little by little, it was able to go with the castor oil compresses. So when I say a compress, what do I mean by that? I'll show you how we make it. We get what's called an incontinence pad. You can buy these to put under people who are incontinent. And we cut them up. So you can see that I've already cut a piece off this. And the beauty of it is it's got a plastic backing. And I open it up. You can open it like that. And I put several layers of cloth in there to make it a thick compress. You see, the thicker the compress, the more castor oil it will hold, and the more castor oil can go into you. So I have made one here. So you can see this is quite thick. I think I have got about 8 layers of cloth in there. And what I do is I tape the edges with masking tape, and I've clipped the edges with a stapler, or you could stitch it. And when I applied the castor oil earlier, it was like a thick layer on top. And so you sit that down and you leave it for maybe 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, waiting for it to soak through. It has soaked through now, and that's quite wet. And you can see that it doesn't take up the whole of the poultice, because when that goes on the body, the heat of the body will thin the oil and it'll leave a little bit of a room for it to spread out. So this is a good size for the chest, for a congested chest. It's a good size for the abdomen. It can be put on the abdomen for constipation. It can also be put on the abdominal wall for irritable bowel. It could be put under the rib for the liver, for gallstones. It can also be put at the back for kidney stones. It could be put over a knee for a painful knee. So you can see we're getting to the part in our presentation where for a sore knee, say, you might try the ginger poultice. Another time you might try the grated potato poultice. And another time you might try the castor oil. And you will get to see what the different poultices do. But remember, this penetrates deep, and because it's not drawing anything out of you, you can use the same compress again and again and again. You might even use the same one for a couple of months. Maybe every 2 days, it's starting to feel a bit dry, you'd put a little bit more castor oil there. You'll get to know, and you can just fold it over, put it aside, and bring it out the next night. I've spoken to women who've been able to break up breast lumps using the castor oil compress. I've also spoken to women who've been able to clear up their breast cancer with castor oil compresses on the breast. It's not the whole program. There's a whole lot of things that you do. In my book, Self Healed by Designs, it talks about the conditions required for healing, for especially with cancer, and this can be just part of the program. And now we're going to have a look at charcoal. Charcoal is a black powder, and charcoal has been used for centuries. They even use it in medicine today, and the reason they use it is because charcoal adsorbs poisons. When you put a dry sponge into water, it absorbs the fluid. This isn't absorb, this is adsorb. And adsorb is referring to the fact that the charcoal under a microscope has all these little facets, all these surface areas, and every surface area has the ability to bind poison to it. NASA uses charcoal to filter the air in outer space. They use as charcoal to filter the water in outer space. In medicine today, they use charcoal to filter the blood for dialysis. They use charcoal for poisoning cases. Charcoal can be used internally and it can be used externally. Internally, it's for all poisoning cases, and externally, it can be used again for poisoning. So that might be a snake bite or a bee sting, or it might be a wasp bite, any bite. Ants, we've got something in Australia called jumping ant, and oh, they sting very, very badly. And when you apply the charcoal poultice, the pain goes within minutes. The easiest way to make the poultice is to put it into a little snap lock bag like this, and you put 3 teaspoons of charcoal to 1 teaspoon of psyllium husk. When you mix charcoal and water, it's like mixing dirt and water, whereas the psyllium husk, it goes like a soft jelly, and that's what we've done here. So what you can do in a crisis is you can, and ideally you have this in the fridge, looking for my scissors here, you have this in the fridge and you can cut an area around the edge, take the plastic off and just put it straight on. And what you're putting on is like a black jelly, and that's the poultice. I think every home should have these, so they're easy. Remember, 3 teaspoons of charcoal, 1 teaspoon of psyllium husk, and you do about 3 times that amount in water. And you seal it off and you massage it. You massage it and then you spread it out till you've got that pack, and then you cut the area and apply it. So every home should have one of these in the fridge, or if it's been there for over a week, maybe you want to put it in the freezer. It adsorbs and it neutralizes poisons. I trust you've been encouraged, and I'm sure very interested in what we've covered today. I just want to show you that the onion syrup we started to make at the beginning, there's already a syrup starting to form there. But that will take a good 24 hours before it's ready. So please enjoy your experiments with your poultices. I've got some good news. If they don't work, you've got nothing to lose. But we have found in every case they are known to bring great relief and to stimulate healing.
If this episode impacted you, please share it with others. Amazing Discoveries is a donor-supported ministry. To help us keep producing content like this, visit amazingdiscoveries.org. And, as always, you can find the visual presentation of this episode on adtv.watch.